right, take your Bibles this morning. Thank you. All right. Take your Bibles this morning. Gotcha. Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, thank you so much. There you go. All right. Shout out. Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bibles. Will do. Ephesians chapter 5. Of course, shout out to my good buddy back there, Jeremy Snipes. Amen. And a shout out to all the CB kids graduates. There they are. And, what a privilege it is to be here. And Brother Douglas said, no introduction for you today. And I appreciate that to where it humbles me. Last time he gave me an introduction, I thought, man, that guy's awesome. Who is that? And I was told one time, not personally, but in a lecture I heard, don't believe your own press. Boy, as soon as you start believing that stuff, boy, I tell you what. I remember years ago, and I know the staff would remember this. When you were graduating, there was a program, and it was called When Kids Grow Up. Does anybody remember that, staff? Okay, a few back there. And it was your opportunity, you're a senior, it was your opportunity to get up and preach, you know, sing, dance, whatever. You're a senior, and it was your opportunity. So, you know, I thought, man, I don't know if I'll ever have an opportunity to preach at the college. So here I am, a senior. You know, it was like a 5-minute message or whatever. So I did, man. I'm like, I want to get up there and preach. And, you know, talking about believing your own press, you know, thinking more of yourself than you should. I remember getting up and preaching a 5-minute message or so, and I still remember the title, It Is Good for Us to Be Here. And back at that time, the staff, it was a little bit more angled this way, and the staff and faculty were on this side. And I remember after I finished preaching, I walked down the steps, and everybody was clapping, and I remember seeing Dr. Carl Laurent, who is a legend here at the college, and he's been with the Lord now for many years, but he had his Bible up like that. I thought, man, that must have been an awesome message, man. Dr. Laurent had his Bible up. He must have thought a whole lot about that until several other guys got up to preach. And after they finished, everyone clapped, and Dr. Laurent had his Bible up. And I realized, you know what, you're nobody. And the truth is, what a blessing. I am nobody, but I'm honored to be here with you. I don't think this is going to be a long message, this and all of God's people said. You've been funny today, man. I've enjoyed your humor. I like that, Brother King. I sure appreciate the opportunity to work here in this place. Every one of you on the staff and faculty have just been an encouragement to me and have shared with me your prayers. And you've been a support and a help to me. I am very grateful for that. I'm grateful for the kids, the students. I have an opportunity to stand before. I'm honored. I really am. You're the hope of America. That's a little scary to say, isn't it? Some of you are looking at your roommate thinking, man, you are? But the truth is, I remember hearing teachers say that to us, you're the hope of America. And this is 30-some years later, and I'm very grateful for the investment. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5. Everyone should have a handout. If you don't, it's too late. But Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, 16, and 17. The Bible says, see then, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, 16, and 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That word circumspectly means with watchfulness every way, with attention to guard against surprise or danger. I believe that as we go through life, we can't go through it without a clue. We've got to have our eyes open. We've got to be alert and aware of what's around us. And we need the Holy Spirit's help to be able to discern. That's a big word. That's not the word I'm going to give you, but that is a big word for each and every one of us to learn. Okay, need more flyers? Who needs nobody. Okay, let's go ahead and get those out then. Sorry. Sure. No? You want to You want him to sing? No. Okay. Yeah, Brother King, come on up and tell a joke, another one. All right. While those are being passed out, let me say this. The scripture is teaching, do your best to pay attention up here. The scripture is telling us, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Again, that word circumspectly means with watchfulness every way, with attention to guard against surprise or danger. The Bible goes on to say, and here's our main verse, redeeming the time. Let's read that together, verse number 16. Ready? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. One commentator writes this, how foolish to waste opportunities, to win the loss when soon those opportunities might be taken away by the advances of sin in society. If the days were evil when Paul wrote his letter, what must their condition be today? Ephesus was a city that was perverse and dedicated to the worship of the goddess Diana. And Paul wrote these words, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And he says in verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Of course, again, Paul's epistle was written to equip the church as they face the challenges of living in such a wicked society. Paul intended that all those who long for Christ-like maturity would receive this writing. I want to talk to you this morning on a particular word. You have 15 blank spaces at the top of those notes. And I'm sorry, I didn't realize they weren't out, but now that you have them, we see that we only have a certain amount of time. And on this earth, we need to make it count. Too often we skip the urgent things and only choose the easy things. I'm speaking on a particular word this morning. It's 15 letters long. For all of us, it's been the go-to mechanism for different opportunities or times in our life. In fact, it is the most natural thing for all of us to do. Another thought is that it's the easiest and quickest option for every situation. Unfortunately, though, this word, if executed, even to a small degree, will bring enormous challenges and difficulties to every facet of our life. This word that I'm talking about this morning, it will complicate relationships. It will hinder you in your walk with the Lord. This word will bring mediocrity into your life more than success. This word that I'm speaking of will most definitely put a roadblock in front of the many great opportunities that await. This word will rob you of joy. This world will simply hold you captive. Before I have you write down this 15-letter word at the top of your paper, I want you to know that this is something that every one of us battle. The truth is this. Even though I have, and all of us on the platform and the faculty and staff have gone through college, and yes, there is more wisdom, more knowledge, it is still something that we all face. I am undone. I need the Lord's help every day. And I don't preach this to be condemning. I preach this to simply be of help. And I ask that you would have an open heart and mind to consider what I say. And let's pray. Lord, we need you. I need you especially right now at this moment. Before me sit a great number of wonderful servants. Lord, they're going to be used in a mighty way if they'll allow you to. And you've got great plans for them in their life. I know that before me there are students who are struggling. There are some that are not sure whether they should be here or not. They're just maybe just wondering what to do, how to go about life. Many are new this year, and they're trying to just figure out their goals, and they're trying to figure out what your will is. There are some that might be on the edge, about to finish, and Lord, they're wondering what is to come. Lord, there are all the rest of us, we are just doing our very best, Lord, I believe, to live for you. But yet, Lord, we have struggles. We have challenges. In these few moments, please, Holy Spirit, I've got to have your help. And use me. I don't want it to be of me. I want it to be of you. Please speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The word I'm going to give you today is procrastination. 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 It's something that every one of us face. What does it mean? Procrastination means to put off doing what needs to be done. To put off doing what needs to be done. I had the opportunity to share a few thoughts earlier last week with the faculty and staff here, and I hope to share even more and expand on that just for a little bit this morning. The word is procrastination, and it simply means to put off doing what needs to be done. So the question comes, why do we procrastinate? How many of us have said, I don't know why I waited so long to do this. I thought it was going to be hard, and it ended up not to be very difficult. Why is it that we procrastinate? I'm going to give you four reasons why we do this. First reason is this: indecision. 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 You see, too often we don't make decisions that we're supposed to make. You have that scripture passage underneath the word indecision. And the Bible says in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And let me say this, some may be indecisive about your calling. You may be wondering, why is it that I'm here? Did I really mean what I committed to when I went forward that night at a youth conference or at a revival or at a missions conference? Did I really mean that? And a lot of times we question that simply because we face moments of discouragement. We face a battle. We face a challenge. I want to say this. Life is full of challenges. You're always going to face them. Don't let the first challenge be somewhat, in your eyes, in your mind, an indicator that, oh, God's not in this. Every one of these people here and every one of the people that teach and stand before you, they have faced challenges in their life. And I want to encourage you. There are sometimes decisions that you have to make, and they're not easy. But sometimes we wonder, did I really mean it? Because discouragement set in. I like what one said, God, if God called you to it, he will lead you through it. If God called you to this place, he is surely going to lead you through it. He'll find you that job that you need. He'll bless you and he'll help you and he'll encourage you along the way. Yes, I know that some days are discouraging. And I understand that some days you are under a great load, a great pressure to perform and to get good grades and to stay in school and to pay that bill. But let me say this, if God called you to it, he will lead you through it. Sometimes we become indecisive about our calling. Some may be in this room and you're indecisive in this area of your commitment. And too often we stand off to the side. Should I jump in or should I jump out? Let me say this. Let me admonish you, if I could, in this way. Jump into your studies. Jump into this schedule. Jump into your ministry. Just jump in and get involved. I mentioned last time I preached, but I came as a very shy college student. And boy, I want to tell you something. I was standoffish. I did not want to be on the bus. I just wanted to stand outside the bus on Sunday, waving at all the girls, you know. And my bus captain said, get on that bus. And you know, that was what I wanted to do as far as my first few weeks here at college. I was scared. There was something that was very intimidating about all of it. But you know what? I jumped in. And when I jumped in, it got a hold of me. And some of you in the room this morning, you're a little indecisive. Do I jump in? Do I make that commitment? Let me encourage you with some things. Jump in your studies. Jump in your walk with God. Say, I don't even know how to walk with God. Just jump in. Get with one of these staff members and have them help you and spend time with the Lord in prayer. I remember speaking about this area of jumping in, I remember my first night bus. And I ain't never seen anything like that. I know that's not proper English. I've never seen anything like it. And most of you would have the same testimony. But I remember when we pulled up in front of the college late on a Sunday night. I remember my division leader closing the night out with preaching. And then he said, I want you to bow your heads and said, how many of you guys? And here I was, an 18, 19-year-old freshman kid from Kansas. You pray for the Chiefs to win, too, by the way. All right. Super Bowl. I didn't get much response there. So, anyways, we'll move on. But I remember sitting in front on the bus in front of the college. We're getting ready to get out. And I remember our division leader said, I want to know how many of you will commit. How many will decide to stay in it until the day you graduate? You know, I didn't realize what kind of a commitment I was making. I sat there and I thought, you know what? Yeah, it's a pretty wild thing here, this night bus, and I'm here. I'm here in college. Bless God, here we go. I threw my hand up. And I remember that. I know for most of you, you think, so what? Not a big deal, but it meant something that night. And I realized the difficulties that I would face in those, I won't tell you how many years. I didn't realize the difficulties I would face. But I said, I'm going to do it. I'm here. I'm going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to ask you a question. Many of us in our life were indecisive about some things. What for? Why are we doing what we do? Let me encourage you. This area of procrastination, become a decisive person. Become a person of action. Make a decision. Follow through and make it happen. What are we waiting for? Make that decision. Number two, the second reason why we procrastinate is perfection. And we're warming up here. I'm going to get to your heart, hopefully, in a minute. This area of perfection, the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 11:4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. I want to say that some of us, at times, we wait for the perfect conditions, the perfect situation, and the perfect moment. That's one reason why we procrastinate. There are many in here today, you may be waiting for that perfect time to witness to that family member or that friend. Some may be waiting for the right circumstances to fall into place to get involved. Some may be waiting to settle things with a family member, maybe a brother or sister in Christ. Let me say this, I've seen several funerals where there's a lot of regret at the casket. And sometimes we're waiting and waiting and waiting for that perfect moment. And I'm going to say this, you're going to wait a long time if you are waiting for that perfect moment. There is rarely ever a perfect time to do anything. Go forward in faith and accomplish something for God. Sometimes you're waiting on, will I have the qualifications? Will I have the talent? Just go forward in faith. Move forward in faith. Sometimes we're just waiting for the perfect time. What are we waiting for? Procrastination. There's two reasons I've given you already. Number one is indecision. Number two is perfection. Let me give you the third reason why we procrastinate. And that reason is this: fear. Fear. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 26 and verse 13, the scripture says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. So often we have fear. Why do we live in fear? Some of the reasons that we give when it comes to fear are this: we're living with the what ifs. The what ifs. Living with the what ifs is a difficult way to go through life. Some are saying this: what if they say no? Some of you fellas right now, I know you're challenged with this. What if I ask that girl and she says no? My wife is here, and I thank the Lord for her, and I won't embarrass her, but she has made remarks. She said, I'm going to say this, I'm going to be in trouble. When you were in college, you dated half the girls in the college, and that's not true. I remember one time I asked a girl out on a date, and I'll be honest with you, I'm going to go ahead and throw myself on my sword. She said, no. You know what my response was? Why? It was. I'm not lying. It was. It was like, why? You know? And if you're from the South, it would be why. But I said, why? Am I right? You fellas, just do it. Just ask, you know? And you know, that no is it could be a couple things. Number one, probably not the one for you. Or let me just say this carefully. Maybe there are some things you need to work on to fix. And that would be a good opportunity to go to a male staff member to say, you know, so-and-so, I asked her, and she said no. Is there anything you see in me that, you know, well, you're ugly, that's one. No, but just joking. You know, maybe there's some things you need to work on. Let me encourage you. That wasn't encouraging, was it? But the answer often is, or the response, what if they say no? Here's another one. What if I embarrass myself? Oh, man, I've embarrassed myself more times than I can count. And everyone in this room, listen, you want a perfect track record. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to put yourself out there, and from time to time, you're going to do something embarrassing. It's just going to happen. You know, the more you get up, the more you do this, the more you do that, there's more opportunity to goof. But you can't let that hold you captive. This thing, I'm fearful. You know, you get up and you think, I'll never get up and sing. I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want my voice to crack. You know what, I'm just going to take a time out because I'm afraid to sing. I am. My wife has said, why don't you sing? Why don't you sing in church? And you got a decent voice. And, you know, the truth is, I don't mind preaching. I don't mind doing that. I'm okay with doing that. Yes, there are nerves, but man, getting up to sing, that just terrifies me. So here we go. I'm going to sing a song for you. I love the song. I'm putting myself out there. I'll probably embarrass myself. One of my favorite songs is, seriously, it's Living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I owe no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. All right. Truth of the matter is this. I didn't plan that. You know what? You could do that too. Not as well, but you could do that too. You know, what if they say no? What if they, what if I embarrass myself? What if they laugh at me? Man, I've been laughed at more times than I can count. You know what? Just get up and do what you need to do. Stop procrastinating. You know, fear is part of, it's just going to happen. Yeah, you're going to have fear, but you have to keep going through it. You just have to keep plowing through it. You're going to have to decide, you know what? I'm not going to let fear box me in. Someone wants, or how about this? What if no one likes me? Here's another one. What if I fail? You know what? Mark it down. It's going to happen. We're going to fail. But failure, Brother Hiles used to say, failure plus failure plus failure plus failure plus failure plus failure equals success. Years ago, when I was a kid, I was playing junior high basketball. I was in one of these schools. It was a great school. I loved my school, loved my teachers, and so grateful for it. But it was a small school. It's the type of school that if you went out for the basketball team, you made it. And anybody come from a school like that? And you made it. You were on the team. But I was in junior high basketball, and I was, you know, one of the starters. And, you know, we weren't a big school, but we were playing our rivals that night. And I think it was Open Door Christian School. And our star player, you know, I was junior high, but my coach said, Jesse, I want you and James to suit up for the varsity. You get to switch out uniforms and that sort of thing. So, you know, my little stick legs and big baggy shorts. But, you know, there I was, you know, scrawny kid down at the end of the, you know, a mile down at the end of the, at the other end of the bench. And our star player, Tim, he fouled out. And I remember our coach that night, it was just about a minute left, and it was a pretty close game. Playing our rivals, and our coach, he looked down and he thought, slim pickings, man. All I got is Jesse and James, two junior high scrubs, you know. And he said, he's a big guy. He goes, you know, Tim fouls out. He goes, Jesse, get in. And I went, he goes, yes, you. I went, and here's what I did. No. He looked at James. He goes, James, get in. And James went out in the court. James didn't win the game. James didn't lose the game. We lost. But James had no real bearing on whether we won or lost. He just filled a position. Here's what I want to say. That was a Friday night. The following week, it was on a Tuesday night, we were having another game. And when Coach began to say who's going to start for that game, he called everybody, you know, five guys, but he didn't call me. I wasn't in that group. And to be honest, I'm like, you know, why didn't he not call me? I always start. And I went to the coach after the team had gone out on the court, and I said, hey, Coach, you know, what gives? How come I didn't get to start? He said these words. He said, Jesse, when I needed you the most, you didn't go in. And so because of that, you're sitting out. And I sat out most of the game. And I learned a lesson. Next time my coach calls me out, even if I'm afraid, and even though I thought all these thoughts in my mind, I'm going to drop the ball, you know, it's going to hit me in the face, you know, I'm going to throw the ball away, whatever. He said, I just needed you out there. I wonder across this room how many times God's tapping you, the Holy Spirit's tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I need you to go. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. I need you to respond. Huh? No. They're going to laugh at me. I'll embarrass myself. What if they don't like what I do? What if they don't like how I do it? You know, we have all these excuses for why we can't do what we're supposed to do. Let me say this. Don't allow fear to keep you from doing big things for God. Fear will rob you of the things you could have done for God. And I want you to understand what I'm going to say next, because I think it means a whole lot. A great percentage of the things we fear rarely ever happen. A great percentage of the things we fear rarely ever happen. Here's the last thought, and we'll be done. Number four, it said number one, indecision. Indecision is a major contributor to procrastination. Number two, perfection. Number three, fear. And number four, laziness. Laziness. Of course, we don't want to hear that, but it is true. Proverbs 13 and verse 4, the Bible says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The truth is, we want it easy. We're always drawn to those things that are easiest. In other words, we do the easy thing first, and we leave the hard things last. I like what Pastor said just recently, and I've heard him say it before. Laziness is the scourge of the ministry. Let me challenge you as a college student, get up. Okay, that's a first key. That extra 10 or 15 minutes, it really doesn't help, does it? It really doesn't. I'm going to hit the snooze button. Just 10 more minutes. Listen, you're going to be tired whether you have 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You just got to get up. That's the first challenge of every day, is just get up. Second part of that challenge is get moving. Get moving. There is something awaiting you. There are classes waiting for you. There are opportunities waiting for you. Don't sleep all the way through college. I realize, and I feel the same way, felt the same way. You're going to go through college. Your schedule's going to be heavy. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be difficult, but you work through it. I like what Brother Douglas said probably at the end of the start of the school year. If you're tired, you just have to work through it. And no one's an exception here. Everyone is tired. And you just got to get up, and you have to get moving. Get yourself organized. I know it takes time. I know it takes effort, but it has to happen. There has to be that moment where the light goes on, where you realize, I've got to start getting up. I've got to start getting moving. I need to get moving. I need to get organized, working through that tiredness. I love what Brother Heil said many years ago. You can do what you ought to do. Boy, you take that and you run with it. You can do what you want to do. What do you need to do? I need to finish college, you say. I need to get married. I need to get this. I need to get that. I need to get in full-time service. You can do what you ought to do. God will give you the help. God will give you the grace. I love this. God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. You just let yourself be a vessel in God's hands and let him work on you. Let him mold you, and he will move you in wonderful places. I'm almost finished. The challenge today is this: nothing worth having in this life is easy. You see, life is full of one challenge after another. Give every task your best and your all. Don't be lazy. You know, facing, moving from administering to teaching, you know, every night, my wife knows it, my kids know it, but every night across the dinner table, there's always books. There's always a computer in front of me. And over the weekends, constantly, there's reading, there's studying, there's producing quizzes and tests, all that. I've not left that arena. And as I challenged our teachers earlier today, you're always going to be growing. There's never a point in time you say, oh, all the work's over, and you just coast. There's always something before us. Let me quit with this. God has many blessings in store for those who are willing to go above and beyond in their efforts. Stop procrastinating and enjoy the life that God has for you. Enjoy the satisfaction of accomplishing something. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You know, we can look at this word of procrastination and just relate it to studies. But may I just say this? Some of you, I want to talk to you just for a moment, and I'll turn it over to Brother Douglas. But there are some in this room, you have been holding out. Some of you haven't communicated. I feel like the Lord's laying this on my heart. Some of you haven't communicated to a mom or a dad in recent days. Maybe you left for this semester in a way that maybe the Lord wasn't pleased with. Maybe you need to call your mom or dad today. You need to get it right with them. Maybe there's an opportunity that you missed because you were afraid about something. You need to seize the moment and take advantage of that. I guarantee in a room this size, there's somebody who has a mom and dad that aren't saved. You're holding back. You're afraid of what they're going to say. Maybe you've been turned down a time or two and they shut you out. Why don't you go to God today? Why don't you decide? You're going to call them up today. You're going to reach out to them. I'd love to hear those reports. When God does great things and we see people saved, but there may be somebody close to home. They're your loved one. They're your friend. You have a witness to them. There may be somebody here today. You know what God wants you to do, and you're not doing it. I beg of you today, we're living in the last days, I believe, and I don't know when our Lord is coming, but we got to take advantage of this time that we have here on earth. Would you seek the Lord's help? Would you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to that decision that you need to make so that you can redeem the time?